So thank you all for being here for the first presentation of the night, our second presentation of the night. Brothers, allow me to introduce Brother John Peter Springer Ford. Brother Ford holds a Bachelor of Music Education from Mississippi State University in voice and is currently finishing a Master's in Musicology at the University of Mississippi with an anticipated graduation date of May 2022. At the University of Mississippi, he is a graduate assistant for the Department of Music and serves as a senator and Senate parliamentarian on the Graduate Student Council Senate. John Peter's thesis work concerns the performing history of George W. Chadwick and Robert A. Barnett's opera Tabasco. His other research interests lie in early American operetta, the music of Arthur Sullivan, the evocation of landscape through music, and opera. As an active conductor and performer, John Peter has conducted and performed in venues across the United States of America, Europe, Japan, and China. The title of his talk is The Life and Music of George Chadwick. Brothers, please help me to welcome Brother John Peter Springer Ford.
Thank you very much for that introduction. So a couple of things before I get started. So originally I wanted to give a kind of a broad overview of Chadwick's life, because Chadwick is kind of one of our founders that oftentimes I think gets thrown to the side for Osh and Everett Mills. And we kind of lose some of our other very influential early members of the fraternity just by looking at one sole member. So does anybody, and I always like to try to get things a little interactive, so I might ask questions and you can always respond. Who knows something about Chadwick that they want to share? Anybody?
It's been a long time since my national convention, since my national exam, but I believe that the name, the Sinfonia Club, came from his time with Leipzig, Germany.
Yeah, and I'll actually talk a little bit about that, because there's some very strange parallels between that and fraternity now, or some of the chapters or some things that go on now. So the name Sinfonia did come from George Chadwick. And also he was our second national honorary member, I do believe. And he was the director of the New England Conservatory, which is where Phi Mu Alpha was founded. So in the presentation I'm going to give, I'm going to focus mainly on Tabasco. I did want to give a broad overview of his music, but time started fleeting and I had a lot of other things that I had to do. And so I had to just kind of pull some things together that I had already done and that I'm already working on. So actually next week I will be presenting at the National Opera Association Convention in St. Augustine, Florida. And then after that, in February, I will be presenting at another convention in Florida as well. So this is kind of a little taste of some of the research that I've done on Tabasco. And without further ado, here we go. And I will do my best not to PowerPoint you to death. But so George Chadwick, we've already kind of established a little bit about Chadwick, but he was born in 1854 and died in 1931. He was born in Lowell, Massachusetts in 1854. Much of his musical education he received at the conservatory begun by Felix Mendelssohn in Leipzig, Germany in the late 1870s. He began teaching composition at the New England Conservatory in 1881. He held the post as director of the conservatory from 1897 to 1930. And he is oftentimes referred to as the dean of the Second New England School of Composers. So other composers in that group would be Horatio Parker, Amy Beach, a lot of these Bostonians and New England composers from the 1880s, 1890s, up to about 1920, that time period, 1930 going forward. But Chadwick's vocal or Chadwick's output concerns almost every genre that he could write. A lot of his, now he only wrote a few works for operatic works, and this is actually his, probably the one that lives on in the most afterlife, so to speak. So Chadwick's father, Alonzo, was very musical. Chadwick was grew up in a very musical family, and his father led the local music society in both the town where he was born and also later in Lawrence, Massachusetts, where they would end up moving. Chadwick's mother died shortly after childbirth, and Alonzo and Henry kind of gave George to his grandparents to live for a good while. But he was able, about the time that his father moved the family to Lawrence, Massachusetts, he regained with his father and his older brother, Henry. And that was also about the time that his father ended up remarrying as well. His first instruction in piano and organ came from his older brother. And his first position as an organist was at the Lawrence Street Church in Lawrence, Massachusetts. Now, a funny story about this that I always love to tell is that Chadwick was a prankster, a jokester in a lot of different ways. And so with this position, the church music committee got mad at him, and he ended up quitting, walking out in the middle of a service, because they were complaining that a lot of the music that he was playing was too musically liberal for the congregation. It was too forward thinking. And so they told him that his response after the prayer should be short, sweet, and to the point, and shouldn't be, and it should be able to be understood by everybody in the congregation. So what Chadwick did the next service is he pressed the tutti button on the instrument, or pulled out all the stops, and then gave three short blasts from the organ. And thus he fulfilled the music committee's request of something short, sweet, and to the point. And he walked out of the service not long after that. But Chadwick's formative musical education was very inadequate, because a lot of music at the time, or a lot of music lessons at the time in the United States, in that area did not really focus a lot on basics. It was a lot of European musicians that tried to train in very specific ways. There were a lot of singing schools, and there wasn't really a lot of orchestration and instrumentation, that type of stuff, taught at the time. And really, to be a well-rounded musician, you had to go to Europe at this point in time. His father preferred that George stay in Lawrence and clerk for the insurance office, but Chadwick's love for music eventually won out, and he attended a summer program at the NEC. Unfortunately, his time in that program was cut short due to the Great Boston Fire, which, his father being an insurance agent, Chadwick ended up having to go back into the insurance business and deal with insurance claims for over half of Boston, which kind of put a damper on his musical education. But after that, Chadwick really wanted to go to Europe and train. And so he spent some time, at the age of 21, he became the director of the School of Music at Olivet College, which I don't know much about the music program there. So, but it's oftentimes referred to at this point in time, I believe most people refer to that music program actually as a conservatory. So I don't think it's still kind of conservatory-esque now, but Chadwick did serve for 1 year as the director. Everybody loved him except kind of the college board. They loved him all except for the fact that he drank everybody under the table. And Chadwick refused to put down his beer or liquor or wine or anything else. So after a year, Chadwick left, but he did save up enough money where he could travel to Europe. And he studied first in Leipzig, which is where he was mostly involved with a couple of different Jehadison and Reinick, who also actually were, Reinick was actually the instructor of Arthur Sullivan some 15 years before. And so some of Chadwick's music actually does have a very Sullivan-esque quality to it, a very Mendelssohn-esque quality. But that comes from his time there with Jehadison and Reinick. So the first connection to Sinfonia that I really want to pull across is what we talked about earlier, is that the name Sinfonia comes from a club that Chadwick joined when he was in Leipzig. One of the coolest and neatest things is going back through Chadwick's memoirs and reading about his time that he records. Thank you very much for that. But Chadwick records in his memoirs about these nights where they would go out with a Sinfonia Club. And basically the whole purpose of the Sinfonia Club was they would go out to local bars and pubs, and they would drink so much that they would start singing. And then Chadwick records at one point in time, they would get so drunk that they would be on top of the table singing and dancing and having a good old time like that. So I think it's kind of funny that that's the club that the name Sinfonia comes from. But Chadwick's recollections of that club were always very good. He absolutely loved it. And he talks a lot about his time and those clubs that he was in when he was in Europe. Okay, so Chadwick returned to Boston actually with an invitation from the Haydn and Handel Society to conduct his Rip Van Winkle Overture, which was one of the works that he wrote while he was in Leipzig. And this overture actually received a lot of really good reviews. So it was no wonder that it actually grew to be very famous in its day. Also, upon his return to Boston, he was elected to membership in Boston's prestigious St. Botoloff Club. He also composed the club's song, Greet the Old Man with a Smile, which actually found its way into Tabasco. And it was so popular at the time that the joke was, when people would talk about it, they'd say, we will now sing Greet the Old Man with a Smile, omitting verses 96, 300, and 590 or something like that. But they always talked about how many verses the song had. Although looking back, there's only about 10 or 15 verses. So it's not really that many, but it's a good joke. He served many Boston churches as organist until about 1900. 1900, he kind of retired from the church music scene. He had been director of the NEC for 2 years. He was making a lot of changes there. He actually, under his tenure, the NEC changed, moved to the location it is at now. And he would serve as the assistant organist to Horatio Parker at one of the larger churches there in Boston. Chadwick opened a private studio before he began teaching at the NEC. But when he began teaching at the NEC, it posed a problem. He became the most popular instructor that the NEC had at the time. In fact, by the time he had been at the NEC for about 3 months or so, his composition studio was already full and there was a waiting list. And every course that he was teaching was at full capacity or over full capacity. The students loved Chadwick, and Chadwick really instilled a lot within his students. Now, Chadwick's private students, he didn't take a lot of private, or he, the private students that he took on were very well to do in music, or they would have a really good chance in music, or they were really good at what they were doing. So two examples of his students are Horatio Parker and also William Grant Steele. I don't know if anybody is familiar with William Grant Steele. He is an African-American composer that grew up in Mississippi, moved to California. He's written a lot of really good symphonic works. And so that's really a person, if you don't know, check out. And a lot of his scores are very jazz inspired, W.C. Handy type jazz and our blues and all of that, some of all of that. But William Grant Still, amazing composer, somebody that's overlooked. So check him out. Chadwick also wrote a textbook on harmony that went through around, I believe, 60 editions within about 40 years, 50 years or so. He was the first theorist to combine the Roman numeral analysis with the figured bass. Nobody else prior had done that. If you have a degree in music, you know exactly what that is. If you don't, then it can be the vein of your existence when you're in a theory class. So Chadwick's major works, as I said earlier, his stage works were oftentimes not very well, I'm not going to say not very well looked at, but they are very few and far between. For example, A Quiet Lodging was only performed a few times. Unfortunately, even that being the earliest stage work by Chadwick, the autograph score and any remnants of that, except for a script and a few scraps in his composition books, is all missing. All of that came up missing at one point in time. Tabasco, which is the work that kind of lives on in performance now, thanks to Paul Maffray, and I'll talk about that later on. The Padrone is a very interesting work in itself. There are two YouTube videos of The Padrone. The music is wonderful. It's never had a professional production. It was in fact written for the Metropolitan Opera, but the Metropolitan Opera declined to perform it because the plot line of The Padrone was too close to home, so to speak. It was about a family of Italian immigrants that were trying to make their living in Boston and New York and New England in that time period. And it really displayed the vast underbelly of some of that, and also how the upper society looked down upon them. And the Metropolitan Opera kind of decided, well, this is not something that we want to perform because we don't want to make the people that give us money mad. And so all in all, The Padrone is a great work. So if you get a chance, look into that. His orchestral works, some of his like Aphrodite, Tam O'Shanter, are two of his later works that are really completely different from his earlier works. And then he also has a long list of choral works and string quartets and pieces for organ, pieces for piano, and pieces for choir. So if you don't know a lot about Chadwick's works, there are a few albums that have been recorded over the last, probably since 1980. There've been a couple of people, or there've been one or two musicologists that have studied Chadwick before me that have done a lot with trying to record as much possible of Chadwick's works. So if you have Apple Music, Spotify, you can find those albums. And also some of his music has been uploaded to YouTube. Chadwick kind of fell out of favor. His works were performed by the Boston Symphony and the New York Symphony and multiple other symphonies, not only in the United States, but in Europe. Up until about the time that I would say there was a big shift with Leonard Bernstein and Aaron Copland. And they kind of tried to say that we are the beginning of American music, and they forsook the others that came before them. But Chadwick's works were pretty much performed up until that point in time. Since the rest of this is kind of going to talk about Tabasco, I'm going to give you a brief look into the librettist, Robert Ayers Barnett. And yes, some of Chadwick's material is good for chapter use. And there are actually two pieces. There are about, well, any of the choruses from Tabasco would be great with chapters, because Tabasco was composed originally for all men, for the Boston Men's Army Cadets, which I'm about to get to here in a moment. And so a lot of things, there's not a lot of complex parts, and it's very tonal. He wrote a few hymns and things like that. So I'll come back to that at the very end, because there's a couple of other sinfonians that I want to throw in there too that often get overlooked as well. So this is a picture of Robert Ayers Barnett. This is when he was playing the Daisy Queen of Spain in his musical production, 1482. Robert Ayers Burnett was born in New York City and moved to Boston South End in 1862. He dropped out of school to work in a flour and grain mill, which he would eventually own and operate. He was a prolific Boston playwright from 1890 to 1908. In 1908, Barnett moved to New York to try his hand on Broadway, but was unfortunately unsuccessful and became ill for a few years and ended up not doing much work. And then when he tried to resurrect his career, the musical taste of New York had moved from this burlesque style operatic from this operatic burlesque style to more of what we would call musical theater. In fact, Irving Berlin actually was in one of Barnett's shows when it played in New York. Barnett was very, very peculiar about his productions, and he controlled almost every aspect, very much to the dismay of the people that were involved. So a lot of the work on this show earlier has come from Victor Yellen. We've had a couple of symphonians that are musicologists that have studied with Victor Yellen and his dissertation on Chadwick's vocal music. And Bill Fawcett and Marianne Betts write of Tabasco in their biographies of Chadwick, which all three of these, Yellen's dissertation, but he also wrote a book, and Fawcett and Marianne Betts's books on Chadwick are all three amazing. And Betts is probably the most recent, and she includes more of Chadwick's own words than Fawcett or Yellen does, but they're all three worth a read if you become very interested in Chadwick. Okay, so the set of Tabasco is set in the Bay of Tangiers, Morocco. The operetta is about a Middle Eastern pasha who craves spicy food at all costs. And when the pasha threatens his chef, an Irishman masquerading as a Frenchman, with death, the chef is forced to contemplate escape, but instead runs into a blind beggar magician that concocts a potion so spicy and fiery the pasha is sure to love. By the end of the first act, the chef runs out of Tabasco and must act quickly to avoid death once again. So there is also a performing edition of this work that was done by Paul Maffray that is royalty-free for Sinfonian chapters, as long as the majority, I believe the majority of all of the cast has to be Sinfonians, because there are a couple of roles that would be hard to do as females. And it also has to be performed by piano. So for information about that, I can give you Paul's email address and you can contact him about that. But the reason that he said, the reason that that one's royalty free, he did the first performing edition of the script and the score, and that took him about 5 to 6 years to actually complete. I'm doing a performing edition of the score, but mine closely reflects the original production, which I'll kind of mention some of that in a second. So this is our cast. And in the original production, all of these were played by men, by the Boston Men's Army Cadets. Let me see, I think the next one. So here's just a little quick timeline of Tabasco. It was very popular in its time, and it ended up being sold for professional production rights. And there were some issues, evasion of royalties, and Chadwick and Barnett ended up having the guy that was producing the production thrown in jail. All of the materials for the show were collected and then deposited by Chadwick in various different places and were forgotten about by Chadwick. And he said he didn't have a record of where they were kept, but that seems to be very iffy depending on who is inquiring about performing the work. But in the 1990s, late 1990s, early 2000s, most of the performing works or the performing scores for Tabasco were discovered in a trunk that hadn't been opened since probably Chadwick's death, according to his son. He just had this trunk sitting in his study, and he had never opened it, didn't even know what was in it. And so suddenly opened it, discovered all this stuff. And then January 2018 was the revival of Tabasco in New Orleans. Okay, so it was commissioned first by the Boston Men's Army Cadets, which is an active, still today, an active chapter or an active National Guard unit. It opened at Boston's Tremont Theater January 29th in 1894. In its five-day run, it grossed $26,000, not adjusted for inflation. So adjusted for inflation, it would be, I believe, somewhere around $600,000, $700,000 on the low end in 5 days. Barnett created the role of the Grand Vizier. Unfortunately, Barnett could not sing, and newspaper reviews were not kind to him at all, oftentimes referring to him as the screeching animal that needed to shut up. Barnett and Chadwick eventually secured the rights to the name and likeness of Tabasco through a couple of different court cases, and then later the Tabasco company would come back and try to sue, and some of that gets really interesting, and I won't go into any of that because it could take me a while to explain. So, Hail to His Highness, the Prince of Tabasco, the King of the Kitchen and Prince of the Pan. So this is a still photo from the professional production. There are some very unsavory elements noticeable. So, but one of the neat things about this show is that when it was first produced, the headline, I believe, from the Boston Globe said, oh, what beautiful legs. And it was talking about all of the army men who had to shave their legs to play the harem girls. And so it's just a real funny thing. And they have on the front page, and this was front page above the fold. So if you know anything about papers, you know how important that would be. And they had they had some kind of etching or drawing or something of the army men with their legs kicked up like they were in a kick line. So Thomas Seabrook purchased the performing rights to Tabasco. And he was very well known already at this time as a performer and producer of stage works. The libretto was rewritten and very small changes were made to the score. In fact, Chadwick records in his diary that he was annoyed with Seabrook's production deal because Seabrook's part had to be fattened at all cost. The show opened at the Boston's Museum Theater on April 9th. Chadwick thought that the cast and conductor were amazing, but once again, Chadwick had more to say on Seabrook. He thought he was a stupid ass without any natural talent, which I've heard recordings of Seabrook, and I 100% agree with Chadwick on that. Seabrook's Tabasco played in Boston for probably about a week to 2 weeks. By that time, the box office receipts had fallen, and so Seabrook turned to New York to keep the show afloat. It opened May 14, 1894 at the Broadway Theater after a run of Gilbert and Sullivan's Utopia Limited. The New York Daily Tribune called it an unexpected hit, saying Seabrook's song Swim Out O'Grady is becoming more and more popular. After about three extensions on Broadway, the show began the 1894-1895 touring season and toured the United States for probably about 6 months or so. I'm not exactly sure how long it actually toured because there are hardly any records kept from the tour. While on the road, Seabrook began not paying the royalties to Barnett and Chadwick. And so Barnett and Chadwick had to threaten legal action. Unfortunately, Seabrook, being the stupid ass that he was, attempted a rewriting of Tabasco. But the only thing he actually changed was the bottle of Tabasco to a bottle of whiskey and the name of the show, and called it the Grand Vizier. Pretty much everything else was the same. Script was the same. Songs were the same. Orchestrations, everything was the same, all except for the bottle of Tabasco became a bottle of whiskey. The new production featured a libretto by Edgar Smith and music by Frederick Gagel, who were both members of the original touring production. Finally, Seabrook ended up being jailed for a time, and as Chadwick put it, he emerged with only a scarf pin from jail, because he was so far in debt to Barnett and Chadwick and a few other people that he had nothing to his name when he came out. Chadwick recollects that Seabrook died not very long after he came out of jail, but Seabrook would go on to live and would move to Chicago, escape even more debts, and he died with nothing. Even he didn't even have a scarf pin when he died. Here we go. So there has been, if you were at the last national convention and you sat through the and you went and you were in the performance of some of the numbers from Tabasco that we did with Paul Maffray, Paul oftentimes talks about some unauthorized changes that happened to the show. Many of these changes we don't know, once again, because records were not very well kept. And any changes that would have been made, Seabrook would have tried to destroy them so he wouldn't be near as much trouble. It has long been thought that these three pieces, Swim Out O'Grady, Drum Major Jimmy, and Ojai, were added during the national tour, but new research has uncovered that all three of these pieces are in fact composed by Chadwick himself. And some of this is things we didn't know because certain parts of the scores were not available and all this other stuff. But there's some really interesting things. Like I said, I won't go into all this detail unless somebody specifically asks about it. But here's a program from the tour. And you see at the very bottom, it says Drum Major Jimmy, Ojai, and also Swim Out O'Grady. You see Thomas Seabrook and the rest of the cast. So Tabasco returns. Paul Maffray first discovered Tabasco while researching in an archival collection in New Orleans. He's a New Orleans-based conductor who has actually been international for the last 3 years, or has worked with an orchestra in the Czech Republic a little bit. But he was doing some research on opera in New Orleans and ran across the program that you saw on the prior screen and became very interested in it because who's not interested in a opera about hot sauce, especially Tabasco, especially if you're from Louisiana, because Tabasco in Louisiana, you live and die by two things, your hot sauce and your mayonnaise. Strangely enough, with mayonnaise, but Tabasco, down there, you either love Tabasco, Louisiana hot sauce, or Crystal. My personal favorite is Tabasco, but... So Maffray got very interested in this, and so he started asking into the Chadwick family, trying to figure out if there were any remnants of the scores or anything. And fortunately, because of that trunk incident, when it was finally opened, all of these scores came to light. And so it proved a problem, though, because right now we have four existing copies of the libretti. We have an autograph score that's not even complete. We have orchestral parts that don't even match what's in the autograph score. And we have a piano vocal score that doesn't even have near half of the music in it. But so throughout some hard work and trying to cross-examine and put things back together and finding little scraps of paper, Maffray was able to create a performing edition, which I say it closely resembled what I would think of as a Seabrook tour. He would argue with me that it does not. So now I kind of have started to fall more in the middle ground of it's got elements of the Seabrook tour, but it's got elements of the original production. But in reality, it's its own production because it doesn't really follow the plot line of either one of those productions. For an updated libretti and stage direction, Maffray tapped Josh Shaw, who's director of the Pacific Opera Project, who during COVID actually updated Così Fan Tutti into a country club COVID opera. And he has been known for some of his updated operas. I think he staged one Mozart opera like in a Star Trek theme thing or something. He's done some really interesting things with operas. there and there with the Pacific Opera Project. But it premiered in New Orleans January 25th, 2018, running for 2 weeks of sold-out performances in conjunction with the 150th anniversary of Tabasco. Now, as somebody that was at one of those performances, by sold out, I mean sold out, because I had an extra ticket. And they were, and the New Orleans Opera was buying back all of the extra tickets that nobody was using, because there were so many people wanting tickets. The line for tickets were was three blocks long. And they ended up just auctioning the tickets off to the highest bidder. This is a picture. This is Paul Maffray in the white shirt. But this is from the Maffray edition, or the reincarnation of the show in New Orleans. Maffray is actually now an honorary symphonian. We initiated him as an honorary at the last convention for his work with Tabasco and the reconstruction. I don't know if any other symphonians were in the cast. If they were, the former artistic director of the New Orleans Opera was a symphonian. Oh yeah, the costumes. Actually, the costumes are all owned by the McElhaney Company, which is the company that owns Tabasco. And all of the sets are owned by them. And the McElhaney Company actually will, if there's a full production of the show, they will do all of the underwriting for the production. As long as you hand out little bitty bottles of Tabasco sauce, that's all you have to do. Give them free advertisement and they're going to give you free money. which is actually a deal that was struck by Chadwick and Barnett in 1894. So now reaches the point where I'm going to play a little bit of music from it. And I picked two examples. And the reason that I look at these two is because there is a lot of musical borrowing, a lot of parodying that Chadwick uses within the score that he creates. And yes, it's actually Jack Lyle's son that was the director. Thanks for pointing that out, John. But Chadwick creates a lot from, or borrows a lot from Mendelssohn and also Wagner. Chadwick was a self-proclaimed Wagnerite. And when him and his wife would take European vacations, they always planned their vacations around the Bayreuth Festival. And they would go to the Bayreuth Festival and watch as many of Wagner's productions as humanly possible. I think there's Chadwick was recorded one time as saying there was only one production that he didn't go to, and that's because he had too much beer. So this first example is musical borrowing in the Vizier's Song. So this first is, the first clip you're going to hear is a motif from Wagner's Ring Cycle. It is the forging motif of the Nibelungs. And it is mimicked almost exactly in the Vizier's Song. So here is first the source material. Is everybody able to hear that? Thumbs up? No. Okay. I didn't have this done. Give me just one second.
Anything I can do to help, John Peter?
Do you remember what button it is that you press to share audio?
Yes, I do. Let me give you a hand with that. So first thing I'm going to do is unshare your screen for just a moment.
Oh, I got it.
Oh, and naturally, I ruined everything. So when you go to share your screen again, there should be a little button in the lower left-hand corner that you can click that says share audio as well, or something along those lines.
Yeah, there we go. I think that did it. That better?
Much better. Oh, yeah, much better.
All right, and now a clip from the Vizier's Song.
The market slumps whenever I take hold, and gets a boom as soon as I have sold. To others come the coupons and the gold, but not to me.
All right. And another example is actually a Mendelssohn, and it is the opening theme or the opening measures to Mendelssohn's Wedding March from A Midsummer Night's Dream. Which he also uses this in the Vizier's song, as the Vizier is dreaming about his marriage that is supposed to happen, but probably won't.
I love the maid as fair as fairy jewel. I've told my love beneath the silvery moon. She's going to be married Thursday noon. But not to me.
Okay, and this next piece I want to look at is quite possibly one of my favorite pieces in the entire work itself. And it is the aria, O Lovely Home. And it's probably the most operatic work within the show. So the recitative that you're going to hear is also another Wagnerian ripoff. If you're familiar with Tristan und Isolde, this is actually Act 1, Scene 5. This is a reduction in multiple different ways of that Act 1, Scene 5 texture, instrumentation, and sound as well. And the aria itself is very Wagnerian. And you have to imagine this, as in the original production, being sung in falsetto by a man in this exact range, which is a challenging feat that I maybe only know three people that can actually do it. Because it goes right up to high Gs, soprano high Gs, and all of that. So here we go, Fatima's recitative and aria.
Thank you.
I'll go ahead and stop that right there, since it mostly repeats with a little bit of changing in the ending. So to clean up a little bit on Tabasco, both Chadwick and Barnett stood to benefit from the path of success Tabasco was on. It was extremely popular. It was on a national tour. And had Tabasco not been pulled from performance, it might have reached the fame of the works of Gilbert and Sullivan, or even Reginald de Koven with his Robin Hood. Chadwick and Barnett are thought to have begun working on another collaboration, but it never made it further than sketches, most likely due to the trouble Tabasco caused, as well as Chadwick's later ambivalence in writing for the stage. So I'll go ahead and take this PowerPoint off. So stop sharing screen. And so there, as John actually pointed out earlier, there are a few pieces within the work itself that would be wonderful for AMRs. And you can easily find the piano vocal score on IMSLP. I've also got multiple versions of the piano vocal score myself. And you can also, I will tell you this, but don't go off and scream it to the woods or anything, but you can also get the autographed score on IMSLP, and also the orchestral parts that were scanned but are now missing were uploaded to IMSLP as well. IMSLP is a wonderful resource. I don't know if we have any collegiates in here at the moment, but if there are any collegiates, IMSLP, even for alumni, it's a wonderful resource if you need hymn tunes or something like that for an AMR or any musical presentation. Free music. There's a lot of symphonian and American composers on there. But Chadwick's music with Tabasco, there are some wonderful choruses that you could use, very easy to learn. And another composer that is also a symphonian that I want to put out there too is Reginald de Koven. Hardly anybody nowadays has ever heard of Reginald de Koven, but he was a contemporary also of Chadwick, and his operetta Robin Hood is outstanding, and there's some wonderful choruses, especially for, and they do have, there's a couple that can have solos in it with like Little John or Friar Tuck or somebody like that, but the choruses from Robin Hood would make perfect pieces for AMRs as well. De Koven, I believe, was initiated in 1920 or something like that. But he is in the list of famous symphonians. So if you've gone through that list, now you have a way to connect that name with that list. There's a wealth of knowledge, or there's a wealth of music out there by Chadwick and many other early symphonians that has been pretty much almost all but forgotten. And I've working my hardest to see a resurgence of a lot of this music being performed. Reginald de Koven, famous for Robin Hood, his operetta Robin Hood, which there's also some interesting connections between Robin Hood and Tabasco. So, but that's a different presentation as well.
I was thinking I was going to struggle with that last name too.
Yeah, it's, and actually his, I believe his real last name is Koven. I think he added the D at some point in time. Yeah, Alpha 1917 honorary. But his operatic output and his musical output is outstanding. I can't even begin to tell you how many pieces he wrote, but they were all extremely popular. The Ohio Light Opera Company, if anybody is familiar with them, did a recording of Robin Hood, and you can get that also on Spotify. You can get it on Apple Music, probably anywhere records are sold. So does anybody, I'll go ahead and open the floor up. Anybody have any questions, comments about Chadwick? There's a lot of music. There's a lot of information. Yes, Colin.
Hello. I was curious as to how you found information regarding the Symphonia Club that Chadwick had belonged. I know for a while I had tried to do research on my own on it, but you know, you're looking at late 18th century, you know, documentation that may or may not be, you know, digitized on the internet. Because I initially thought the club like that was more reminiscent of those, you know, those upper class German, I guess fraternities, for lack of a better word. But I was curious how you found that information regarding the club.
Yeah, so a lot of research that I've done, and other people that do research like this will probably tell you, sometimes it's like throwing a dart at a wall and hoping you hit something at some point in time. And you will pick up a book and you'll be flipping through it, and then there will be a reference to it, and then there will be a footnote, and you'll follow that footnote. And which that is actually how I came across this, is that Fawcett speaks to it in his books, I believe, more than Betts does. But Fawcett kind of talked a little bit about Chadwick's time, and then he cited the memoirs, I believe Chadwick's first set of memoirs. And then when I was in the library at the New England Conservatory researching this past summer, I was working with those memoirs. And so I went through and I also made little notations about that direct from his memoirs as well. Chadwick's memoirs, I believe, are all of that stuff is digitized. I know I've got files of it somewhere. I don't know if some of it you can access online. Unfortunately, one of the files is misnamed and filed under something else. It's actually misnamed as one of his pieces, and one of his pieces is misnamed as the memoirs, I think, or it's something weird like that. But Chadwick's memoirs you can find online. As far as anything else regarding the early days of Sinfonia, the National Office pretty much has all of those records. Anything that was kept by Ossian Everett Mills about Sinfonia, or anything about the chapters, the records that were kept by the chapters themselves, the National Office would have those. As far as anything in the NEC archive, there's probably, I had a long conversation with the archivist about it, and she said that as far as she knew, that there was, the only things that she would have would be references and like letters from Chadwick and internal documents of the NEC. And she said most of those, you would have to go through stacks and stacks and stacks of paper to actually find anything that you were looking for that could be relevant to anything. So hopefully that answered your question.
Thank you.
Well, as we're finishing up, can we give another round of applause and appreciation to Brother Ford for his delightful presentation? That was really eye-opening, and now I feel confident I could take the national exam one more time. Oh, no, wait, not the national exam. But I feel like I would nail the one question about George Chadwick.
Two. There are two.
Oh my goodness. See, just to speak to how long it's been since I've seen a national exam.
Because there's one, he was the, no, it's all in one, but it's one big paragraph. It's one big paragraph of an answer.
Yes, it is. All right. Well, any other questions for Brother Ford regarding George Chadwick and Tabasco? Excellent. Well, thank you all for being here tonight. I'm going to stop recording for just a moment.